Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Hi. It's March 12th, 2007, and Travel Advice is a show that you can listen to on a podcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can download the episodes, and you can also email any questions you might have about if when you're traveling to different countries around the world or just in your area. If you can ask Jerry and I, that would give you travel advice, you know, about where to stay, what to do, you know, really specific to your area. And our email is traveladviceshow@traveladvice.com, and you can email us anytime. And I'm Chris, and my co-host
Jerry.
Jerry. How you doing?
Hello.
Jerry? Hi.
Very good.
Hi. Oh, great, great, yeah. Like, hey, Jerry, today I'm down in St. George, Utah today.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the temperature down there?
It's like 85 degrees, I think. It is so hot. I'm not used to it, you know. Like, yeah, but it's so refreshing, though, you know, to have some good, the sun shining, blue sky. You know, it's a beautiful day down here, yeah.
We're like 65 here in the Salt Lake area.
Is it 55? Wow, what a
no,
big...
65.
65, oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sunny and 65. So that's the hottest it's been since last summer.
Yeah, that's great. It feels good. Hey, yeah, it's nice that the spring's coming.
Oh.
And yeah, and just a little note, if anybody does travel down to St. George, Utah, it's a great place. It's kind of in between Zion National Park, which is... you know, like an hour and a half from here. And then also you have Las Vegas, which is like an hour and a half away from here. So it's a great location, I think, for just to have a base camp here, and then you can kind of explore all the different areas around here. The Grand Canyon's not too far away, you know, so you have a lot to offer around here.
Yeah. And they've got some great spas down there. The Red Mountain Spa is fabulous. And I think Red Mountain Spa, it's been a while since I was down there, but it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And So today, Jerry, we're going to talk about, you know, different types of tours, you know,
yep.
that you can go on there. Okay.
Well, there are four different kinds of tours that people take. And one of them is called the independent tour or individual tour, and that's where a lot of people do. They just basically get in the car or they fly somewhere and they just wing it. And they may have some plans and things like that, but they just wing it. They may book a couple of hotels in advance or something like that, but they just basically wing it. They don't prepay anything or anything like that. And a lot of people who have a lot of time, that's the best way to do it. Because I know you travel that way sometimes in Europe, where you just wing it. Isn't that right, Chris?
I did. Most of it was that. Yeah, just like day to day, I didn't really have a plan or agenda. I just went to, you know, if I felt comfortable in that city, I would stay there for a little bit longer. Or, yeah, it was very, I didn't have many time restraints, like a set tour. Yeah.
And most people are either younger or retired that do that kind of thing, because if you only get 2 weeks vacation, a lot of times you just don't have that luxury. I mean,
yeah.
3 weeks or something, so you don't have a luxury. And another type that is sort of related to that, and this is the kind of trips that I take probably 80%, is called an FIT. And it's either fully independent tour, foreign independent tour, fully individual tour, or independent tour. It has a whole bunch of different names for this acronym, but it's just an FIT. Don't ever call it a FIT, just the FIT. In other words,
FIT.
You're doing your own thing, but you prepay it.
Oh,
and
but
you have to do some research. For example, you'll say, I want 3 days in this place and 2 days there. I want a private driver there. I want to take this museum trip or helicopter tour. Whatever you want to do, you prepay it, or at least most of it. And that's what I normally do. In other words, when I go to third world countries mainly, I will call a tour company. Like we had Wild Africa Safari on last week. I will contact Chris, for example, and say, Chris, I want this, but this is what we did for Kilimanjaro. Friend that I went with wanted to go to Egypt. He wanted to see the Sphinx and the pyramids. So I called Chris and I said, book us 3 nights in Cairo with 2 days. I want somebody to pick us up at the airport, take us to the hotel. I want an Egyptologist guide and a driver for 2 full days, and then We'll want to fly down to Kilimanjaro. I want somebody to pick us up at the airport. And then we want to book the Rangai route. And you just book the hotels. You book everything it is and then give us the bill. And so everything was pre-booked. We knew exactly what was happening. It gave us an itinerary. We did have free time, like our last day in Kilimanjaro. We got the driver that's going to take us to the airport that night. We left in the morning and drove down over to Arusha from Kilimanjaro. And we stayed in Arusha looking at different hotels and different things. And my friend, who'd never been in the travel industry, thought it was fabulous. We had lunch in a magnificent hotel in Arusha. And and that's what we did that last day. But that's called an FIT. You do what you want. And we did it all by ourselves, just my friend and me. And when I go up to most places in the world now, except maybe Paris and London or something, I will do that. Call a company in like about 6 weeks. We're having Doug Grimes of their corporation for the CIS countries and others in that world. And when I go to Uzbekistan and to Far East Russia, all over the place, he goes, I just call him up and say, but this, and this. And they offer a lot of suggestions, and you just prepay it. And it's a wonderful way to do it. You can do so much in a short time. You waste no time negotiating with money and currencies or trying to find people to do things, checking on if it's open. They take care of all that for you. Now, that's an FIT. Now, if you want to have a lot of independent time and you're not moving around, there's a tour that is called hosted tour. Now, a hosted tour is where there are some things required to make it hosted. One of them is you must prepay your hotel. And packages, for example, Las Vegas. You'll see 3 nights in Vegas for X amount of dollars, for example, or 4 nights or 4 days in Disneyland, or 3 nights in Paris, including airfare from New York in the winter for $1,000. That is called a hosted tour. What it is they will meet you at the airport, either by bus or a voucher for some sort of a transportation to your hotel. You prepaid your hotel. Usually there's something else prepaid. Maybe if you go to Vegas, there's a show that you prepaid, you already know about. Or if you're going to London, maybe there is a half-day city tour on a Grey Line tour or somebody like that. So you usually have one or two tours included. Your hotel is paid, and the round-trip transportation from airport to hotel. And that's basically it. You can make it more complex if you want, but if you do, it starts to become an FIT. But hosted is mainly just round-trip transportation that you prepay from airport to hotel or train station or bus station and the hotel, and usually one or two sightseeing events, and that's the minimum for hosted, and that's basically what 99% of them are. And so a lot of people do hosted, particularly in areas that they want to take some time. It's a great way to do it. If you want a week in London, for example, and you don't really care about going anywhere else in England, a hosted is a fantastic way to do it. You just book your round-trip airfare, however you want to do it, mileage or whatever, and then you book a little round-trip transportation, either by taxi, you prepay it, or bus or whatever, air train or whatever, and then your hotel and a couple of tours, and that's it. That's a good option for people who have limited time. Have you ever done those kinds of things before?
I have, yeah. I went to it's funny, though. It's a difference, though. The all-inclusive is a lot different than the hosted. The hosted is just mostly the hotel you kind of prepay for.
Well, no. Now, the all-inclusive goes into the hosted category.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, because all you really booked was your round-trip transportation from the airport or whatever to the hotel. You booked the hotel. It just happened to be that all the meals are included, or some of the meals are included, and they probably gave you some coupons or whatever to explore some of the area around about. Did they give you like a little half-day tour somewhere or a working trip or something like that?
Yeah, and they also had a guide at the hotel that we did a lot of activities with. He was like the host at the hotel, and that was all included too. So we played games and did all that. Yeah.
So that is a hosted tour because you didn't go with anybody else in the world. I mean, by the time you left that, you knew half the people there and great friends, but you went by yourself.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You booked it by yourself, and this happened to be other people booked the same thing, but you didn't know them until you got there.
Yeah, you know, I formed some good relationships with those people, too, because you get the bond with them the whole time you're there, and you see them every day. You know, you see them at the meals and at the events, and, yeah, it's a...
Yeah, and you end up doing things together.
Yeah, sometimes you're on the same plane with them, too. You're leaving together and everything. Yeah, and you might be in the same... You might live in the same town with them, too. It's funny when you leave the same airport.
Well, a lot of charters, you know, a lot of charters, like from the U.S., for example, or Europe, a charter will go down to Phuket from Amsterdam or Copenhagen or whatever, and then or maybe from the U.S. you'll fly down to Cancun or Cabo San Lucas and spend 4 days a week or whatever. They're also hosted tours because they can include the airfare. But you're basically on your own once you get there. That's the difference between the hosted tour and the FIT tour. The FIT, you book everything ahead as much as you want. You can have free time, but usually FIT people want everything taken care of. They want private tickets to go in to see David or something like that in Florence.
All kinds of special tours
in the Hermitage and St. Petersburg. They want something special, and they want it prepaid. And FITs generally cost the most.
Well, oh, really?
You're having a private driver, and in my case, I always want a private guide with an FIT because I don't want the driver and the guide to be the same for two reasons. Number one, if you have a driver guide, 90% of the time, they're not quite as good of a guide. They're not as trained in most cases. In other words, like when we were in Egypt, we had a driver who was fantastic. He had a wonderful car. It's a Mercedes-Benz, and we drove around like a maniac, and he drove. He drove us right to the entrance of the pyramids. He rode right to where we boarded the camel, but right to everywhere, right to the museum, Cairo Museum entrance. And he dumped us off with our Egyptologist guide. And then he drove off somewhere. He went to park somewhere, and I don't know where he went. And we didn't have to waste the time for him to park and walk back. And he was a nice, knowledgeable guy about Cairo, but he's just a normal, everyday person. But our Egyptologist gave us all the details and all the information as much as we wanted, sometimes more. But it was fabulous because the guy knew exactly what to do. And so that's an FIT. Now, the fourth way that most people travel is what's called an escorted tour.
Okay.
Now, an escorted tour always includes the accommodations or hotels or wherever they're going to stay. It always includes transportation from airport to hotel and several other things that must include. You are with a group, and that group stays together basically the entire time. And you'll have a guide. And usually it's on a bus, and the bus driver drives you around, and the guide tells you what's happening and makes sure the hotel checks you into the hotel and all this stuff. And sometimes in areas, you'll have what's called a step-on guide. Now, the step-on guide will be there with your real full-time tour manager or escort, and they will tell you about the city. In other words, you'll fly into a city, and the person will be there with this other bus. And he'll tell you about the city as you're going in and things that you might want to do in your free time. And whether the local guy is too busy reconfirming restaurants, making sure you're checked in the hotel, the room's available, and reconfirming flights to get out of there, all this kind of stuff. So a escorted tour requires that you be with that bunch of people the whole time. There are two kinds of escorted tours. One of them is where you know everybody on board. In other words, a country club or a tennis club or a garden club or an organization.
Or a university study club. Yeah.
Or an alumni or a religion going to Israel, something like that. They all go together. They all know each other. They stay together, and they all experience the same thing. Now, that's very common. Maybe 50% of the escorted tours are that. Now, there's another kind where you just book it in a brochure. A company offers a whole bunch of escorted tours all over the world, and you say, I want to go that date, and I like that tour. So you book it, show up, and then maybe 20 people, 30 people, or whatever. You may never have heard these people in their life. They're from all over the world. But by the time, as you just mentioned about the hosted, you become good friends with them or bitter enemies, depending on who they are. But you end up on this bus with them the whole time, and you do everything with them. And some people love the escorted because they don't have to think, they don't have to do anything, and they like a guaranteed bunch of people with them. My wife loves escorted tours. And in fact, by the end of these things, she is practically an assistant escort because she knows everybody and she's getting keeping everybody busy if they want to be on the buses you're traveling from point A to point B. And that she advises on menus. And that she's just one of the paying passengers. And I don't like escorted tours unless I have no option because I don't like to be with the same people all the time. If I want to be with the same people all the time, I'll stay home. But that's my philosophy. I want to go see things and do them quickly. I don't want to go to a market and spend 3 hours at a stupid market looking at all the junk. And I don't care about that. I'm just not interested. But that's what the escorted tours do in many cases. Or they might go to a museum, spend 3 or 4 hours in a museum, and I'm only interested in one thing there. I mean, here we go to the Cairo Museum. The only thing that my friend wanted to see was the mummy wing with all these famous mummies, and he also wanted to see the gold exhibit. So we went in there, and we were there an hour and a half in the Cairo Museum. Most people spend half a day or more, and we went. We told the guide, the Egyptologist, we want to see the mummies in their little room. There's probably 15, 18 mummies in there, and go to the gold ring, and that's all we care about. If there's anything else you think really neat, we want to see it, but we're not interested in seeing every inch of the museum. So we went in, saw the mummies, went, and we stayed there maybe 20 minutes, went to the gold ring where there's a whole bunch of gold. It's beautiful, fabulous. We must see it. And then he said, okay, anything else you want to see? He said, what do you think? Well, there's one thing that they had just dug up, a new thing with some new inscriptions on it. And he took us over there and showed us this thing. And it was fascinating, very interesting. But we said, no, we came to see the pyramids and we've seen all we care about this thing. So we left. But if you had been with an escorted tour, you might have been stuck there 4 or 5 hours and not spend the time that you wanted in the part that you wanted. They may have only been the mummy museum 10 minutes. And we could have stayed there 2 hours if we wanted. But we saw everything we wanted and read everything we wanted and left. So that's the difference really between FIT and escorted. You do basically the same thing, but you just do it on your own rather than with 20, 30 people or whatever. And you can do it whenever you want, as long as you want. So that's why I go FIT. And my wife doesn't like FIT in most cases because she says she likes to be around other people. She says, I'm boring because I go and look at what I want to see and then leave. And she likes to talk to people. And now one thing about escorted tours that a lot of people are not aware of, in most cases, most companies will sell a portion of it. For example, because I hate escorted tours, I'll give you an example of what we did. One time, my wife wanted to go on an escorted tour up through Finland into Norway and come by bus all the way down into Bergen. Now, I thought that would be the closest thing to hell known to man because I don't want to be on a bus for 2 weeks and with the same people for 2 weeks. So what I did, my wife, it started in Copenhagen, but we wanted to do the Göta Canal, and my wife had never been on it, but I had, and I said, you've got to do the Göta. So what we did is we told the tour company we were going to join the trip in Stockholm. We were not going to do Copenhagen with them because we'd been there numerous times, and we left a little early, and we flew to Gothenburg and got on the Göta Canal and spent about 4 days on the canal and got to Stockholm one morning, and they pulled in that same day. So we had at the same hotel they were, and we had the dinner with them that night, and we met everybody that night, and they had come overland from Copenhagen to Stockholm. And so that helped save my life a bit. But as we got into Norway, I didn't want to spend bus all the whole thing down. So I got off, and when they got to Kirkenes, I got off, and I took the boat from Kirkenes through the Hammerfest up to the North Cape and got off in Bodø. And and I stayed in Bodø a day, and here they come bopping down in the bus, and I joined with them. And I finished off the tour down to Bergen with them. So I left. We got joined late on the tour, and then I left for about 3 days and went by boat, and they went by bus. And I had been there before, and I said, I'd rather go by boat. And so I did, to make it a more interesting trip and to break up. And I got a discount. I got a bit of a discount. They took some of the sightseeing off. And the part from Copenhagen to Stockholm, because my wife and I were not using a hotel room, we didn't have to pay for that hotel room.
Oh,
so,
nice. Okay.
But he used the hotel room by land when I went by boat, so she had to pay, we had to pay the hotel room. But I got a discount on some of the meals and some of the stuff on that portion that I went by sea. So, I'm sorry, Chris, what were you saying?
No, I think that's great. Yeah, I never really knew that. I never knew that you can negotiate with the company, with the escorted tour company, and just kind of, you know, say I'm not going to be here that night or that night, and that's great. They were good with that, with you, with doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 90% of them will work with you on it, and a lot of times I know I have to do some of the escorted tours with my wife. We did one tour that started in Frankfurt and ended in Rome. But we didn't want to do Italy. We wanted to do something else. We wanted to do Slovenia. And so what we did is when we got to Vienna, we just left them in Vienna as they were going bopping across southern Austria into Italy. We left them and rented a car, and we drove to Slovenia and flew home from Slovenia.
Uh-huh.
And but we had to escort through the first part, and then we left them about halfway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through. I can't remember exactly, but we left them. And then we just did our own thing by renting a car in Slovenia. So these are options that people often don't do. Now, another thing you might consider doing, and I sort of inferred it in the last example in Norway, you might want to do some of it by escorted tour and then get off and take a cruise. If you have time, maybe escort it through Russia and then end up in Helsinki or whatever and then take a Baltic cruise and then fly home. Or you might want to mix and match things. I mean, don't ever think that, remember, it's your vacation. It's your trip. So whatever you want to get in the your time frame, negotiate and work with them, and they'll do it. So that's just some options that people often don't think about. And just might as well not pay all the money. Sometimes they won't take, you know, dollar for dollar because you still have to pay for the bus. If the bus is
right.
going to go... the bus cost them $1,000 a day or whatever, you have to pay. They have to pay that bill. So they may not whack that off of it, but they'll whack off the hotel. They'll whack off some food, sightseeing.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah,
huh. Yeah, it adds up, and this
yeah.
is what you want to do. So now who should take escorted tours? Well, it's hard to say. Anybody that feels comfortable with a lot of people and gets along well with people. Also, people that have never been to an area. Now, there are some areas that I really do recommend escorted tours the first time, and one of those is China. If you've never been to China before, I recommend you taking an escorted tour the first time and take it the entire time. Pardon?
Yeah, when I went to China my first time, I was on an escorted tour. Yep.
And you should do that because it's very different over there.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It made me feel very comfortable. I didn't have to worry about, you know, yeah, it was a good match, I think. And then next time, I think I want to be a little more independent maybe, but for the first time, I think it's great. Yeah, give you a good idea on what's going
yeah,
on.
China
yeah.
is one of those that you need to go escorted the first time, I think, unless you're an extremely well-adventurous, well-traveled person. And
yeah.
even then, I think you miss a lot if you don't, or you miss have a lot of time. And the next time in the China, you go FIT, because FIT will let you see a lot for a good amount of money. You won't waste time with the language and trying to find your train tickets. And I mean, that takes time, and it's really quite a – unless you have a lot of time, it just isn't worth it to me to waste time trying to do that. Another area that I think is very important that you go escorted your first time is to Russia. I think it's very important to do it the first time because it makes it a little more convenient because a lot of people – still think it's very communist, although they still have the mafia, but it, you know, it's very dangerous and all that, but it really isn't super dangerous. Well, it is some places and some time, but you should go escorted your first time until you get the hang of it. And I do recommend it escorted your first time to many parts of Africa, particularly Western Africa and Central Africa, because it's critical. So if you go to East Africa, as we talked about last week with Chris, and Southern Africa, you don't need escorted. FIT is perfect. Have your own guides, your own drivers, and do it the way you want to do it. It's perfect. And Europe, if you're older and not well-traveled, or you have a very limited time and you want to see 10 countries in 12 days, escorted tours do have their advantages. But be careful about it, what you're doing, because it may not be what you really want. And then one other thing we need to talk about
Mm-hmm.
is on tours, on the prices of tours.
All right.
A lot of people equate cheap with cheap, okay? If it's not a lot of money, they say, that's what I want. But what may happen, you need to compare apples to apples, and this is what a lot of people don't do until it's too late. Compare, let's say you have a $2,000 budget per person, and say, okay, I'm going to find, here's one for $12.95, I will take it. But what you may find out is that it doesn't include most of the meals, a lot of the sightseeing, a lot of entrance fees, a lot of other things that you have to buy over there. And by the time you pay for it, and you're nickel to dime, as I say, it turns out that you would have been better off paying more than $2,000 for a better hotel and better tour company, better guides, and all that. So make sure what you're buying is what you really want and need. And now in hotels, a lot of times cheaper tour companies will use hotels either a worse quality, they need a three-star, or they're out in the boonies, out in the outskirts. And on days that you have free time, it can be quite an inconvenience, trying to find the train, trying to find the metro, getting taxis. You'll waste a lot of time and maybe some money, where if you were in a tour that had the downtown hotels or where you want to be, then you just walk and don't spend and waste a lot of time. So you need to really compare apples to apples when you do escorted tours. With FITs, it doesn't matter. Well, it does, because you want a hotel that does what you want to do. But if you're out in the country, it doesn't matter. They'll come out and pick you up and haul you around. If you're downtown, they pick you up and haul you around. So it doesn't matter. It's critical, as long as you get the property and hotel and the view that you need. But hosted, as I said, most hosted ones, the people that take those, go to one place and stay like a week, at least 3 or 4 days, and stay in one hotel. And is that what you did when you went to your all-inclusive? You stayed like a week somewhere?
Yeah, yep.
And so that's fine. Just go hosted. It doesn't matter where the hotel is located. And if you want a beach, you want to be on the best beach possible where there's a hotel. Or if you want to be in the mountain, you want a hotel with views of the mountains from your room and things like that. But the hotel is not critical, because you're going to the hotel more than going to do something. So as far as running around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of tours that we have. And, wow, it's already 30 minutes gone.
It's, I know, it went by. Yeah, that was great, Jerry. Well, I think we went over every type of, you know, the most common, you know, or the most categorized tours there, you know, the different types
right.
of tours, and that's great. Hey, Jerry, I just want to Chris, I just want to give a thank you real quick to Chris Bradshaw from Wild African Safaris. He was a great guest last week. That was a great show, and
yeah.
Just want to say thanks to Chris there again, and that was excellent. And hopefully, you can come back and talk about more African adventures, mm-hmm. you know, and that. And that's great. Yeah. And then next week, Jerry, we're going to talk about like the Far East, Asia area.
Right.
There.
And we have
okay.
a guest coming too, don't we?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Dr. Linda Ralston, she's a professor at the University of Utah, and also she's the director of the International Studies Program with China, and she goes to China very often, and she works with a lot of Chinese people, Chinese professionals in the travel and tourism industry, so she knows China really well, and a lot of the how to travel in Asia. She's been doing it for many years, so I think she'll give some good insight, you know, and just...
Oh, yeah. And we're also going to talk about other parts of Far East Asia.
Okay.
So tune in if you're interested. We'll talk about Japan and Korea and Taiwan and Hong Kong. And those are the main areas that we'll talk about, and China, of course. And maybe even if you have time or somebody has an interest in Far East Russia, which is very Asian. It's definitely not Russian as far as the people, the language, culture, et cetera. It's very Asian. There's much more Mongolian feel and look. With a hint of European and some Russian from the European part. But it's a very interesting place out there, too.
Excellent.
Already.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you to all the listeners out there. It's great that I hope we're giving some good advice. And I want to say I just got a call from Robert in Toronto. He's a big fan of us, Jerry. His name's
really?
Robert. And yeah, and he really enjoys Salt Lake City in Utah. And I just talked to him like before the show there, and just want to say thanks, Robert, for being a listener there. And yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, he should have called us on the show.
Yeah, he had to get going, I think, and he called like 10 minutes before the show. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But we have a live show every Monday, so you can call at 646, and this is U.S. 1 international code, 646-915-9715, and that's the number to call in, and you can talk to Jerry and I and ask any questions you like, or email, too, at traveladviceshow@traveladvice.com.
Look forward to hearing from all of you. Well, I guess it better go.
Okay, Jerry, sounds good. Well, thank you. I learned so much today, actually. I'm excited about that. If I really want to learn a place, I think the FIT would be great to get a good guide, you know, to really get a good feel of everything.
Right.
And, you know, I might get into that. But the escort, it is nice, too, you know, to kind of to meet people while you're traveling. So if you don't want to be by yourself, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, sounds good, Jerry. Well, thanks a lot, and see you next week on March 19th, I think it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.